Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Brandy M and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, July 30th, 2021. Today we are reading from the big book and we are on page 75, paragraph 2, starting with "We pocket our pride and go to it." Today's readers are Lorraine N for the 12 steps, Jessica S for the 12 traditions. Readers of the text are Julie E.B., Christina J., and Sherry K.B. Alice G. is our newcomer greeter, and Betsy H. will do announcements. The reference numbers for Thursday, July 29th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 17450. That's 17,450. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, the share ID is 17456. That's 17,456. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, Brandy. Here are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Excuse me. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to read the steps. Lorraine N., recovering compulsive eater in Oregon. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lorraine. Thank you for your service this month. I'll now ask Jessica S. to read the 12 traditions.
Hi, my name is Jessica S., and I'm from Ohio, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. A common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one main authority, a loving God as he may express himself in a group conscious. Leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA The OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting outside group of OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. You know, I'm gonna have the back of Rita take over. I'm shaking. I'm sorry. I'm so nervous.
6.
Okay, no problem.
An OA group never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinions on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And Sherry K. being grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Jessica, and thank you, Sherry, for having that so quickly in the wings. Thank you both for your service this month. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 75, paragraph 2, starting with, we pocket our pride and go to it. I will now ask Julie E.B. to begin reading. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone, at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we have begun to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. What an amazing paragraph. It is so amazing. You know, I used to have to live with my pride leading the way. I believed about myself that I could handle everything. I believed about other people that they needed to see me in a certain light. And, you know, those beliefs, when they creep up, I've got to pocket my pride and go to it. Because the gift this has is that if I know my twist of character and the dark crannies of my past, then I am able to look myself in the eye Then I practice looking my sponsor in the eye. And by doing that, I look God in the eye. And this is what enables me to look the world in the eye. You know, I know that in my school of sponsorship, we were trained to ask, okay, at the end, is there something withholding? Is there something you're withholding and you don't want to tell me? And can, you know, after having shared this and received this positively, can you put it out there? What does that do? When I can look the world in the eye, because I'm not covered anymore in shame, which is that nebulous feeling that there's something wrong with me, but I simply have clearly guilt that I do things and that who I am and what I do hurts other people. This allows me to be alone. Someone taught in a special edition, I've adapted. I put a hand under my shirt, on my shoulder, and I hold it there. God, I'm yours, and I trust you. For me, that's what it's like to be alone at perfect peace and ease. I don't have to have the TV blaring. I don't have to have someone praising me. I could have all of my teenagers, now young adults, telling me, you know, what my problem is, whatever. And I can say, yeah, I can see myself in those. Sure. So then I don't need to be afraid, because if who I am at the core, I'm not who I am. My higher power appreciates who I am, not what I'm done. And I'm going on, but I guess the last thing I would say for me, the difference between the spiritual beliefs and the spiritual experience is that in this program, through the steps, I practice taking the ideas of a loving God, and when I'm afraid and I ask what God would have me be, and then I ask myself, hey, what would I say to a friend who was scared? Would I say, trust more, do better, be perfect next time? Or would I say, it's okay, I'm here? And so that's how I learned and was guided to get God into the nooks and crannies of my life. And that's why picking up that first bite and mostly even that first thought is just not a part of my life today. And I'm happy to be on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe, which I practice by walking hand in hand with you. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie E.B., for getting us started. We'll now open the lines for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to share on that paragraph?
Irene B.
Christina J.
Irene B. Christina J.
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B.
Reggie O.
Reggie O.
Danielle M.
Danielle M.
Lauren H.
Lauren H. Anyone else? All right. Hearing no one else, we will start with, so I'll tell you who I have Irene B, Christina J, Bonnie B, Reggie O, Danielle M, Lorraine H, or Lauren, maybe Lauren H. So Irene B, please start us off today.
I'd like to share Laura.
Okay, Laura, I'll put you in the end. Irene, star one to unmute.
Okay, yeah. Got unmuted. Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., recovering in Louisiana. I have so much that I want to share, and I don't know where to begin. First, I want to apologize and make amends for always wanting to be the first one to share. It's like Friday is my day to share, and I cherish it, but I have physical therapy, so I have to go in so I can go to physical therapy. Anyways, we pocket our pride and go to it. Oh, my word. You know, I am getting so much clarity with regard to who I am and what I feel. Maybe not necessarily who I am, but how I feel. And yesterday I had a really good session with my therapist, and I realized that I don't, my deepest fear is not abandonment. My deepest fear is rejection, because abandonment comes from rejection for the most part. So I'm not necessarily, I do have fear of abandonment, but what kills me is rejection. And that fear of rejection is incredibly powerful. I think mostly because I reject myself, but it's fear that keeps me and holds me in place. I think it's my fear that makes me be, you know, the pat answer. You know, what? Where's your part on it? Self is self-centered, self-seeking. Yeah, that's... that's the best I could do. And in an earlier share, I love what somebody said, that's the best I could come up with. And that's exactly right for me, because when I started this program my entire life, I don't know who I am, but I don't want to go to that. What I want to talk about is the fear. It's like, it's not my pride. You know, I lost my pride bunch of years ago when I started to try to take off the mask of pretending to be what I wasn't anymore or what I never was. So my pride, I had to let go of that a long time ago so I could start on my journey of recovery. What I had to let go of was my fear. I mean fear. So I'm glad that it's not a one and done thing, and we can do 10 steps daily, but I need to do the steps multiple times, because I have to peel the layers of the onions, and there's layer upon layer. And with that, I pass. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Irene B. I'll now ask Christina J, followed by Bonnie B. Good morning, Christina.
Morning, Brandy. Thank you for your service. Thanks for everybody's service this month. I was proud to be a part of it and grateful that I'm recovered today in the state of Washington. I never have had these promises until I was in program. I lived a life of fear, feeling like I was never going to get accepted. I was miserable my entire life. I had moments of wonderful connection when I was in nature, or on a spiritual journey somewhere, a spiritual retreat, but then I had to go back to life. And life was where my problem was. Not to say that a spiritual journey is not a life, but you step away and you take massive amounts of time, you know, not massive, but what I mean is 2 or 3 days, 2 weeks here and there, to get away from it all. And in those moments, I had connection. I knew that I was connected to something way bigger than myself, but I just could not connect the dots. So in that regard, as far as bringing it into my life, in that regard, this program, you guys, I know a lot of you know this, but if you're new on the line and still just trying to get there, this is an incredible, incredible gift. And your higher power, whatever your definition of it is, wants you, or you would not be in this room. You would not be here. Our addiction is an incredible gift that has brought us to our knees. Without it, we'd probably just dive into holes occasionally and say, oh, I can get out. I'm a normal person. I can have a bowl of ice cream when I'm upset, and I can get back on life. No, that's not me. That bowl of ice cream takes me deeper and deeper and deeper. So when I got to this fourth step, you know, this whole thing in the beginning was a real strange journey for me. I was deer in the headlights the whole time. I had no idea where I was going to be getting to. And now that I've had a little bit over a year of abstinence, I had no idea that I was going to get to this point where these promises and this fifth step, from doing that fourth, from writing down all my resentments and my angers and I didn't get this and I didn't get that and you did this to me and you did that and finding my part in it and giving it away and humbling myself. Oh, my God, I have these promises beginning, and they're just a beginning, you know. The fears are falling from me. I have days where I'm delighted for no reason. There's been no food that's brought me glory or no person that said I look beautiful in my swim clothes. That's just all BS, really. Where is the gift? It's from the inside. This is where we feel these things. I've had many spiritual beliefs, but now I'm beginning to feel them and live them and walk them. I'm having those spiritual experiences. And it's not always life on life's terms. I mean, shit happens. We're in the world. We're human. And I agree with an earlier person that said before the meeting started, I'm not a bozo on the bus. I'm a precious soul on the bus. I'm no special than anybody else, but I never feel like a bozo. I think God, each one of us is special to our higher power. So, and he brought us here. And we have on this broad highway, everybody's on it. Everybody, even people that aren't addicts are on it. So we can be an example and a light as we give this fifth step away. We illuminate everything that's held us back. And then we have a responsibility to go out and take this beautiful, loving, compassionate, understanding self to the world. And we can be alone with it, or we can be in crowds with it, or we can be around food with it. I had dreams recently that there was food all around me, and I said, oh, this isn't my food, and I walked away. What a beautiful dream of neutrality, you know? So anyway, I'm overboiled with beauty and joy today for this paragraph and for all of you, my fellows, on this special broad highway with all you special, precious souls with me on the bus. I love you all.
Thank you so much, Christina J. We love you, too. All right, our next up is Bonnie B, followed by Reggie O. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, Brandy. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfect.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your service. Thank you for everyone else who has shared. Sometimes it feels tough to follow up after there have been so many amazing shares. But so this is my part for today. We pocket our pride and go to it. What does that look like for me? How do I pocket my pride? I pocket my pride by saying, Bonnie B. from Minnesota, not recovered yet. I mean, what does that feel like? It stinks, to be honest, because at one season I was recovered. But pocketing my pride says it's okay to not be there yet. It's okay to say I don't have it figured out. That was the thing that killed me for years and years. I had to have it figured out. I don't have it figured out. But I serve a God. I serve a God that does, that loves me, that brought me to this room. And as Christina J. had shared, what a gift. What a gift. Came into the room thinking it was the food. I'm at a normal body weight. I still don't have it figured out because it is in my head. It is not in my body. It is in my head. And what do I need to do? Illuminate or allow God or the people that are kind enough to speak into my life to illuminate every twist of character, right? And so what's a twist of character? It's just something that's not untangled yet. I have all these things in my world that are tangled up, and they're tangled up because of a whole bunch of different reasons. And piece by piece, day by day, as I bring it back to my Creator and offer all of this to Him, He reveals to me those things that hold me back from Him. And yes, all of it always goes back to the selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and fearful, but you can't see what you can't see. You don't know what you don't know. And so picking it back up, pocketing the pride, and just going on with it and not thinking to myself, I'm less than or I'm more than because of where I'm at in this program, but just thanking God that I'm in the program and that if I show up, He promises to show up. And then that very last sentence, feeling as though we are on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. This is about that touch point. This is about being okay with myself. What brought me into the program? Not being okay with myself. Right? I mean, that's what it is. And I came into the program having a higher power, having a savior, and yet I still wasn't okay with myself. And so, you know, it's about revealing those things that separate me from Him and then hopefully being able to use those to encourage others. So for anyone that maybe is not recovered yet, you're in the right spot. You're in the right spot because you're exactly where you're supposed to be for today. And as long as you keep coming back and there's honesty and transparency, we're going to keep moving forward, and that's all He wants. He doesn't want perfection. He wants our hearts. And so thank you again for me to share, and I hope you guys have a super blessed day and a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bonnie B. I'll ask Reggie O to share with us, followed by Danielle M. Good morning, Reggie.
Thank you, Brand. Good morning, Brandy. Thanks so much for your service this morning and everybody here. And my name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered for today and recovering every day, hopefully for the rest of my life. Boy, we pocket our pride and go to it. I came into OA in 1985, and I don't remember the year I gave my first fourth step away, but it was maybe within the first 3 or 4 years, because I started doing AWOLs right away, even though the steps weren't studied and programmed, at least where I was at that time. And how many times I've gone through the steps since then, I have no idea, but probably in the double digits. And every time that I have come to the fifth step, or the fourth step, actually, there's always been something that I have not wanted to tell my sponsor, always, you know, which is amazing. And, shame is something that I have lived with, you know, shame of not being perfect, shame of, you know, some things in my past. But it's been this shame, you know, if people know things about me, what are they going to think? And sometimes what they know about me is that maybe I've been mistreated. Like, and what would that say about me if I was mistreated by someone else? So very self-centered approach. But what has happened to me also every time that I come to a fifth step is that the person I've told the fifth step with, and I've been very, you know, fortunate in this, has told me something about themselves that would be, in the spirit of a fifth step that I would have been, you know, shocked by if I didn't know the process that I was in, something deep and revealing about themselves, and often that related to the thing that I was most not wanting to share or reveal to that person. And that has been an amazing gift all the way up to this last time I went through the steps. I'm still working in step 12. And from 4 through 9, I worked with 3 different people. You know, someone needed to travel, and that took me through 4, 5, 6, and 7. And then, you know, a night step I've done with, continued doing, and I've done it with a couple of people. And I've had the same experience, and there is always something new that is another level that I haven't gotten to. You know, the first time I did the fifth step in vision, I told my sponsor something that I had not shared with anyone for over 30 years, and actually made that amends that I never, ever, ever thought I could make. And it was very freeing, you know, and it's almost like, well, that's the biggest thing I've ever needed to make an amends for. So I should be free, right? But there's always something else. I find there's always something else every time I go through the steps, and sometimes every day. And thanks so much. And it's just simply another level. And every time I get to another level, I get freer, which I'm very grateful for. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Reggie O. Danielle M., followed by Lauren H. Good morning, Danielle.
Hi, this is Danielle M. From Virginia. I am a compulsive overeater, and I am grateful to be here this morning and to share. And I've been listening to the meetings this week. I'm trying to think of how many days, enough days where I have realized that I've done my fourth step in this program. I did a fourth step in another program, and I had been struggling with food and wanting to hide it from my sponsor. And by coming and listening to everyone share and what we're talking about now, I realize it is associated with me not wanting to share some things that I feel shame about with myself. And that I feel grateful for that, because it was really hard for me to just be aware of that. I mean, it was a struggle to figure out what is going on and why am I trying to hide from my sponsor? My sponsor has always been really kind to me and helpful and has really, you know, not judgmental at all. And it's like, oh no, this is my own stuff, and this is my own shame that I feel about this particular things that have happened to me. And so I'm realizing by reading this out of the big book and stuff that I need to go back and probably do an inventory on shame and kind of talk about those things that I did not talk about in my original inventory. And for me, that is a good revelation. And I just feel grateful. I feel grateful that there is a program, and I feel grateful for people in this program because it gives me hope, because I can think about when I came in and how hopeless I felt because of the way I ate. And I thought, nobody eats like me. Nobody does these things with food. And that perception has been blown out of the water. And then I've thought along the way, I feel shame about this. And then I've shared about it, and I don't feel shame about it anymore. So all those experiences have been really wonderful. And I need to keep focusing on the experience, not what my mind wants to tell me about the experience. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Danielle. All right, we'll now have Lauren H. followed by Laura. Good morning, Lauren H.
Hi, good morning. This is Lauren H. from Los Angeles, a compulsive overeater. Hi, good morning, everybody. And thanks to those who do service at this meeting. My sponsor asked me to start sharing regularly, so here I am, because I'm undisciplined. So, but I'm going to any lengths and following all directions this time around. And today it's been about 30 days. It's been 30 days since I recommitted after relapse. And this is a great paragraph to share on, because I just did my fifth. I just read my fourth step to my sponsor on Monday. And yeah, I'm so excited to write down my fourth step. It's my fourth time. And surely this is what brought me to relapse, is all these resentments and fears. And when I put it down on paper, it was like, it wasn't that big. And I was like, that's it? And then I was like, oh, that's it. Because it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much fear and selfishness to really bring me down, bring myself down. Yeah. And there was something really shameful that I did, like, when I was 10 or something, like 30 years ago, that I still think about all the time. And I shared it with her, and she was like, she listened. And then she said, yeah, I did something very similar to that. And it just melted me. It just was like, oh. She's like, yeah, that sounds like something kids would do. You're a kid. What a gift that was, because that has just been rolling around in my brain. But anyways, I want to get to the paragraph here, because we're delighted. And I've never been delighted after a fifth step. I've always usually felt pretty lousy. But this time, actually, just a few days before I gave it, after I finished writing it, I was on a quick trip to Las Vegas to buy a car because there's a car shortage. And it was like, a lot of work with the kids and all my packed food and pre-measured and weighed food and the dog and getting the car and the stress. And there's a nice pool, and so we all got in the pool, and I was happy. I was going down a water slide, and there's like a video of me. My daughter jumps on my back, and I'm laughing hysterically in this video, and it's like proof. And I sent it to my sponsor. Oh, gosh, I'm delighted. And I haven't been delighted in months, really. I mean, maybe on the outward I look delighted, but on the inside I felt really dead after getting back to the food. So yeah, I feel delighted, and I'm starting to feel nearer to my creator. And I felt pretty blocked, even through steps 1 through 4. So, all right, thanks for letting me share, and grateful to have this meeting here. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lauren H. All right, Laura, you want to say the last initial of your last name, as I didn't get it. Do you want to share with us? *1 to unmute, Laura. Laura, are you with us?
Laura T., compulsive overeater.
Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. So I was just thinking about the gifts of a fourth step, and the gifts of a fifth step, You know, I think when I'm busy like blaming others and wrapped up in my own resentments, that's not really freedom. You know, it's full of fear and it's full of pain. And I think that when I get to look at these things and I get to release them and share them honestly with another person, I think what it allows me to do is be closer to God, be closer to other people, and not so much in my self-centered fear and all my plans. And I think that sharing these things with another person takes a lot of humility, and we kind of let down some of that guard. And I'm better than others' attitude. And I think when I'm in that place, I'm able to be a recipient of God's love more so than when I'm just wrapped up in my own stuff. And I think each step that we take allows us to live by more of the spiritual principles. And I think that's the whole purpose of the steps, is as we go along, my self-centeredness decreases and I'm able to develop more spiritual principles. And I always think of what spiritual principle goes with each step. And for the four steps, it's courage. It takes a lot to look at myself. And the fifth step is integrity, where, you know, I got to show up and look at myself and move forward with this new understanding I have of what I've done in my past and how I can change that. And I think, you know, clearing up a lot of that stuff, like being in the disease of, being in my disease, that being able to look at that and then share that with another person offers me that freedom where I can, you know, let that sunlight of the spirit in, as the book talks about. And I think that I'm able to be in a much better place to receive kind of like the gifts and the gifts we have in recovery. But it's an ongoing process. Things come up. And I think it's important to keep doing an inventory, to do your daily 10 steps and continue to share that with another person. And I've often found in my recovery, kind of the longer I go, sometimes, you know, it says about the road getting narrower, a resentment I can feel even stronger, and I have to keep doing the work. I was taught that we do the steps and we access our higher power's power. So I'm so grateful for the freedom that inventory gives me, so that I can have a life of being of service and, being in recovery. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. So I'm just going to remind everyone where we're at. We're at page 75, paragraph 2, starting with "We pocket our pride and go to it." I'll now open up the lines for further shares. Who would like to share on this?
Sherry M.
Sherry A. B.
Terry H. Sherry H. M.
Sherry.
Laura R.
H. M. Laura R.
B. B. B.
I have room for. Sorry, can you say that again?
B. B. Laura R.
B. 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 I have you, Laura. All right,
okay.
So I have Sherry KB, I have Terry H, I have Sherry HM, and I have Laura R, and I have CBB, I think. So we'll see if we get to CB, but Sherry KB, if you'd like to share with us, go ahead. Star one, Sherry.
I'm here now. Good morning, Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service and all of us on Team Friday. Yay. I'm so grateful. Love this paragraph. What I like is that, you know, we are pocketing our pride. We're, you know, putting in the back pocket. I'm willing to go and talk about all these things, these dark crannies in my life, these character defects, and withholding nothing as far as what I know, you know, because I know that I've done this the steps before, and I'm going to do them again. And it, you know, it talks about that we've begun. So we've begun to feel the nearness of our Creator. We've, you know, begun to have a spiritual experience. So it's telling me, for me, that, you know, this is just a beginning, Sherry. This is going to be a new way of life for you. And there are promises here that if you do this, that I can be delighted, that my fears are going to fall. I'll feel more closer to my Creator. I'll have a spiritual. I'll begin to have a spiritual experience, and I'll feel the problem, the eating problem, disappear strongly, and that I get to walk the broad highway. I get to walk with my higher power, the spirit of the universe. These are two names that are, you know, referred to as the higher power. And what I do know is that. I was thinking over this morning about the fifth steps I've done in my life, and every time I've done one, it has felt such a relief and such freedom. And what I also know is that the last time I really did a four-step NOA, it had been a while. I had always done 10, 11, and 12, and I have worked with others and taken them through. But there is something I need to remember, how important it is that I continue to do this work, because it says in this paragraph, we've begun. So it's never ending, and it's not a chore. It actually, for me, I feel like my higher power says, you know, Sherry, you can only see so much at this time. And then it's like more gets revealed and more the layers of the onion gets peeled, the more information I get about myself that I didn't know or I couldn't see. And so, like, right now I'm in the midst of a four-step right now, and I'm seeing some things that I didn't get before. All of a sudden I'm starting to understand that this four-step that I did, that I do in the fifth, is that I'm talking about the beliefs that I've had, that I've carried around all my life, that no longer work for me. So I'm setting aside my pride, and I'm laying out what these beliefs were that I've carried around, that I've had about myself, about other people. And I mean, I'm so grateful.
Time, please.
And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. All right, we'll now have Terry H. followed by Sherry H.M. Good morning, Terry.
Yes, I'm sorry. Is this Sherry for Sherry H.M. or Terry? I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
Terry H.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Terry.
No worries. Terry, are you there? Star one. We can come back to her. Sherry, why don't you come since you're there?
Yeah, thank you so much. It's great to be on here. I'm so grateful for all of you. Wow, this is so powerful. We pocket our pride and eliminating every twist of character and every dark cranny of the past, and talks about withholding nothing. That reminds me, I mean, it's really about trust God, clean house, and serve others. And I was so concerned the first time I did that, because, you know, would my sponsor, would she fall off her chair? Would she die? Guess what? She's still alive. She didn't fall off her chair. She also said, oh, yeah, I understand that. I've done similar things. And it was so just beautiful and so wonderful to be free of all that, because I know it is the emotional buildup of all those emotions that's going to draw me into the arms of my refrigerator. So, and especially sugar as a recovered, you know, sugar addict. So yeah, it's just such a beautiful experience. And then I have, you know, the feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. That does happen to me a lot, but even though God's given me almost seven years, I can't fool myself in thinking, okay, now I've graduated, because we don't graduate from this. We just keep going around and serving and, you know, keep looking up, and it's a program of action.
not a program of sitting on my laurels, which I tried that early in the program and it didn't really work. So thank you so much, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Terry H., are you there? Do you want to share still? Star one. All right, Laura R., do you want to share with us? Star one to unmute, Laura.
Hey, Brandy, sorry. This is Laura R.
No.
grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Oh, great to be on this meeting. Oh, I am just so grateful for all of you and the vulnerability I heard in the meeting so far. And that's what this takes, I think, in the fifth step is to be vulnerable with another fellow. And that obviously God is there too. It does bring me a sense of humility, but it brings me a sense of oneness with not only my creator, but with my fellows. Because I hear the Me Toos, I hear the, oh, been there, I get to hear some of their experiences of the sponsors that I've been through. That's been my experience, that they've shared things with me. You know, and I was just thinking, starting with step one, we have to have some sort of trust. Like, I'm not going to put the food down if I don't trust that something's going to work. Because I'm too damn scared, you know. And as we go through each step and getting up to step five, I am trusting my intimates with someone else. But it's interesting because we start to, you know, okay, God, I'm gonna put the food down. And step two, you know, I'm going to trust that God's going to restore me to sanity. Three, you know, that faith. I'm going to turn my will and my life over to God. Okay, what does that even mean? I'll go on with the fourth step. It's a backsliding and fact, you know, facing process, which again, is scary. And I have to trust that, you know, I'm going to make it through. And to sit in front of another fellow, I just was thinking this morning, like, into me, I see. Like, I have been so afraid of you seeing me. So afraid of you seeing me. I mean, I lived in San Diego, for God's sakes, and barely ever left my house because I was so darn afraid. And, you know, what a shame. And, you know, it's funny because just recently I had to restart. And because, well, one, my food was sloppy and it was just relapse. But two, there was this little bit of black tea powder, just a little bit. Like, and that was holding me back from a life beyond anything I could ever imagine. And it blows me away because, like, and it's not that bad. No big deal. Like, my family's pretty good. Like, we're good. But, oh, my gosh, the other day, and this might not be big for you, but all my life, like I said, I couldn't open the damn door to get out of my house because I was too afraid. And still today, I have that kind of fear. But I climbed up a mountain that was so hard, and everyone said it was hard. I don't work out. I don't like it. I don't like pain in any way, physical or emotional. That's why I ate. I was talking to my friends. I would sit. My life has been in a cup. Like, I've just surrounded myself with food and not lived life. Anyway, I get up to the top of the damn mountain. I'm crying halfway up because it's so hard. And, like, it sucked. But when I got down, I was like, what? Like, I did that. I can do hard things. And that's what these steps are. Like, I got to dig deep. And because of the freedom of being out of the food and through this work, I am doing hard things today. And, time, like, I'm please. Living my life. Thanks, Brandy. If you are new, please, like, just keep coming back and keep doing it. It's so worth it. That's all I got. Thank you. Thanks, Brandy.
Thank you, Laura. All right. So we have about 2 minutes. KBB, if you want to take that, you go right ahead. Star one to unmute.
Sorry, it's Phoebe B. Phoebe B. I'm a recovered food addict from Vermont. And I've really appreciated everybody's shares this morning. I haven't been live on this meeting in a very long time, so this is quite wonderful. And I just want to quickly share, you know, pocketing my pride. I just gave away a fifth step. It's probably about the fifth one I've done. The food has been down for quite a while, thank God, almost 5 years. And this week I faced some challenges in my family, three of them back to back. And when I gave that fifth step away to the fellow that I gave it away to, she gave me some feedback, which was absolutely wonderful. And she said, you know, there's a theme here where you're looking for other people to be your higher power. And these three things that happened in my family sort of smacked of that theme. And so to help me through these challenges, not only did I talk to my fellows, but I said the set-aside prayer multiple times. You know, God, please enable me to set aside everything I think I know for an open mind and a new experience. And those were the lines, and please help me see the truth. And those were the lines that helped me to pretty quickly get out of that selfish, self-pitying kind of mood that I could get in a matter of, you know, less than an hour, sometimes just minutes. And that is what it says on this page about we feel we are on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. And there was my higher power right there who helped me get out of that place of self-pity and put my pride aside. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. All right. So I will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book, page 164. I'll ask Christina J., can you please read a vision for you?
Yes, very grateful. Christina J. from the state of Washington. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you can't transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.